May 7th, 2020, and we are talking about life during this pandemic and how we're managing and just our story all around. And we are recording remotely in Leverett, Massachusetts. So the first question, oh, and Betsy is my friend and neighbor in Leverett, sort of a neighbor. So the first question, Betsy, is I am wondering when you realized that this pandemic was a serious thing. Was it something that hit you slowly, or was there a pivotal moment, or when did you realize this was really a big deal that we had to be concerned about?
Well, I suppose I knew it was coming. In fact, a couple of years ago, my oncologist was telling us she had just come from a seminar, and she said that the main danger is not nuclear war, it's epidemics. It's going to be a virus. And it really opened our eyes. But it really affected me was when non-essential businesses closed, and I had just returned to work 3 weeks before. And I called in, or I emailed and said, I can't come in as of Monday. If there's anything I can do at home, fine. And then they closed everything down anyway.
And was that in the middle of March or more toward the end of March?
Definitely the middle, beginning to middle.
And did you isolate after that? Did you kind of go into full throttle, pulling back from the world at that point?
Yes.
Did you feel like you had enough to keep you going? Were you afraid? What did you feel around that time when you
I
were?
wasn't afraid. I don't do fear.
I love that.
I've had advanced cancer for 18 years, and so I have made my peace with uncertainty. So, I enjoyed the thought that my daughter was going to be living at home, and then my son was going to figure out a way to get home. He actually he was at school in Chicago. He flew to Vermont to stay with my sister-in-law for his 2 week isolation before we picked him up and brought him back here.
So you have both your kids with you. Oh, that's really sweet. That's nice. That must be, when was the last time you had both your kids with you?
It's been a while. I mean, for holidays we do, but yeah, and this is different. It's the relationship between all of us is different. It's better, actually.
That's good. So, in terms of the impact on your lifestyle, do you feel like there's been a dramatic shift, things that are super challenging, or maybe even things that are better? How would you say that this has impacted your daily living?
Well, it's been fairly good for me. I've needed more sleep, but it's hard because Mary wasn't working, and Milena had been working at CrossFit, and of course they closed the gyms, so she's doing virtual classes, virtual trainings. Out in our driveway
Oh,
and in our living room, and And Charlie is trying to finish up his studies in his room. But so I'm the only one who's really working right now. And I had retired 3 years ago.
Right, I thought that.
Almost 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But all of a sudden, I felt better than I had for several years. So I had to work very part-time.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm working more than I was brought on officially for 10 hours a week instead of 5 to 7.
Right.
Starting last week.
Mm.
So it's living in flux.
Yeah. Yeah. And how is everyone else managing around each other?
Well, pretty well. Milena is, she had wanted to switch careers from CrossFit training, which she loves, to something more stable with benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a job, remote job out of Chicago, that 3 days before she was supposed to start fell through.
Oh.
Been trying to find another job and hasn't been able to. And now she's saying, and she was very keyed up at the beginning of this isolation period.
Yeah.
Because, she wasn't getting any opportunities, and she had no idea when it was over whether there would be opportunities for her.
Mm-hmm.
So went back, she had gone back to CrossFit just to earn some money.
Right.
And she's continuing with that. But I think she's much more settled now.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie just went to his room and started working, and he completely on his own. Unimaginable to us. He has been following prep school and college basketball really closely. He was writing a blog, and everyone was reading his blog. So he started interviewing college and prep school coaches, because he said, schools are closed, but they're very mm-hmm. Anyway, and they started calling him, asking to be interviewed. So he's been doing those.
Wow.
I said, what, you going to earn any money for this? No. It's love. So he's done all sorts of interviews. I mean, every school from UMass to Yale to...
Wow. Did you ever imagine that he would be, this is where he would land?
No, he's getting his degree in photography.
Right, I know that.
Yeah. So, and this is just something he likes to do on the side.
Yeah. Oh, how great. That's awesome. So, I know that you've had various periods in your life, of course, over these 18 years where you've been isolated, and this is not exactly foreign to you to not be out in the world for periods of time. Am I right about that?
Yeah, I look back. Well, let me put it this way: I'm losing count, but I've been through chemo 7 times. I'm on it now. I've been on it for. It'll be 3 years in June. And one other course, I was on it for almost 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had, I think, 7 surgeries. Mm-hmm. Count. But if somebody were to say, wow, what have you been doing for the last 20 years? I don't think I've seen you. Those would be a subtext. I've seen my kids grow from 7 and 10 to 25 and 28, and gone through graduations, and I had to leave my first career and start a new one, and there's just been a lot going on.
Mm.
What I think has helped is that we moved to Leverett, which is out in the woods, and we're particularly in the woods where I am, in 1996. And we wanted that isolation.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just where we want to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's as if being, you know, if I were used to being in a busy city or a busy town and running in and out, then not being able to do that would be very foreign.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy enough here, and we get out for walks.
Yeah.
We go out with friends,
mm-hmm.
walk in Rattlesnake Gutter.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary's been sewing masks. So I have one with blueberries all over it.
So does this feel like a different time than other times where you've been isolated? Are there any distinctions that you can make, or does it sort of feel like, oh yeah, well I've been here before, and this isn't too different? Like, are you food delivered? Are you having food delivered, or are you going out shopping? I'm just curious about any changes that have, if there have been any changes, or how you would compare this to another challenging time. You've been through enough challenging times, that's for sure.
No, the times when I've been, you call it isolated, I didn't think about it as isolated. I was in pain.
Yeah.
I was sick.
Yeah.
And now I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
So it's totally different.
Yeah.
And I'm not going out. I've gone out for walks, but Mary and Milena do the grocery shopping.
Mm-hmm.
So, and run errands and, you know, have to go to the post office when necessary. And I've been doing two of the wonderful things that have been different, that have made me happy during this time, involve singing.
Mm.
As you know, from being in our chorus, Anne Louise,
mm-hmm.
our chorus director, has been doing online singing. It started out with sectionals for the songs that we were going to sing this session. But now it's changed to just wonderful songs,
mm-hmm.
sing songs. She sends out the lyrics. She plays her piano and mutes all of us, and we sing along with her.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, I went to a summer camp when I was a child, from age 11 to 16. And they've been having virtual campfires.
Wow, creative.
Yeah, so there have been, you know, generally there are 170 or so people online, sometimes up to 300 from all over the country.
Wow.
Some other countries who sing songs that we made up at camp and songs that we used to sing at campfire. And it's wonderful. I mean, the newer songs, you know, I haven't been there since 1969. The newer songs I might not know. And so I listen to them as I scroll through all the faces of people who, whom I know or whom I don't know, but who look just like the kids I went to camp with.
Oh, that's so great. It seems like one of the benefits of this, even though some people find the Zoom piece of it hard, but the benefit of that is that so many more people can be present. You know, like you said, people from all over the world, whereas you might have a gathering and some people can come, but this kind of brings people from all around to do things that we would never do remotely.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I feel like it can be an added. It's one of the little silver linings, I think.
Well, we indulge in nostalgia in a way where we're really present,
mm-hmm.
rather than just having little blinks of memory of things. Mm-hmm. And I think that's great.
Yeah,
we've also Cancer Connection, our community cancer support center where I work. has online support group meetings. So I've done those. And I think they're much more poignant than in person, in a way. Well, part of it is that two members of our group died in the last week. And we so wanted to embrace each other physically and cook. So it's wonderful that we could talk with each other about it, about the good memories, the pain, survivor's guilt, gratitude. I've been thinking a lot about how people think of gratitude for being well or having clean scans. Or, they tend to tamp down because they feel survivor's guilt that they're doing well and other people aren't. And I realize that I don't believe it's two sides of the same coin, that I think of life as absurd, and some things happen to some people and some things happen to other people. And just because you're doing well, it doesn't mean you're taking good life away from somebody else.
Right.
So you think deeper.
Right. I think in both of those circumstances, in terms of losing folks and then connecting in a way where you can't touch each other, you sort of inevitably delve into just right to the heart of what's important, right? Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, we've always talked about things that are very important, you know, life and death. But I don't know, we feel much more vulnerable now.
Yeah.
And that makes our conversations different. They're always authentic, but maybe we're much more willing to admit our weaknesses.
So any surprises that have come out of this time, pleasant or unpleasant?
Surprises. Well, I've been surprised how well my mother is doing. She's in a retirement community. She's almost blind, and she broke her hip 3 years ago, I think it was, and they weren't able to fix it. So she has almost full-time care. And she's much more articulate and with it than I am at this stage at 94. And she's doing so well. One of her nurses managed to set up Zoom meetings with the rest of the family. And now it looks like there are only two of us who can do it every Tuesday. She was so excited to come into the 21st century and use the internet that she never had. And, you know, she can't really see our faces. To lean toward the screen and say, "Who's that? What is Melanie there? Where's Melanie? Melanie, wave!" And then there's a point to the box.
That is great. And so she lives far away. Have you been visiting her? Yeah.
No, they won't allow people into the retirement community, and she certainly doesn't want. And, you know, because I'm immunocompromised, I'm like the first person who could go. I talk to her usually twice a day.
Wow. Oh, how lucky you are to have each other. So let me ask you about the Levitt listserv. What do you think about that? Has that had any effect on your feelings about the Levant community and what's going on here?
Definitely, because you know a certain number of people initially through the elementary school,
right?
And the other place, the two other places where we are in contact really, are the transfer station and town meeting, which is just, one day, maybe twice a year. So there are so many people whom I don't know. And I've served on town committees, so I've met people that way. But there are just some wonderful people who are sharing suggestions during this time of isolation, who are, who set up the town howl on Sunday evenings, who share poems, share funny videos, who write with such eloquence. I want to find them when this is over.
Well, that's part of my hope, is that these interviews, anybody can have access to at some point, and that we connect through them and learn more about our neighbors, and that when this is over, we do feel a stronger sense of community, because we do live far apart in our little town. And so you're right, we have these limited ways that we know each other, and then we might not know the elders that live down the road because we didn't start out with kids together or something to that effect. So I think that this Levant listserv has, for me, and it sounds like you're saying the same thing, it feels like it's been unifying. And really, really heartening to see that people are coming through and being creative and funny, as you say, and all of the things that we may not have had together in any of the other places. So I'm just so grateful for this listserv, and I see that it's been really helpful to a lot of people.
And it's not just the existence of a listserv, it's the way the people in the Levant community have embraced
right.
it. Now, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Is anyone going to interview you?
I don't know.
Well, I think someone should.
Someone can.
Okay.
I would like to, absolutely. Yes, I would be willing to be interviewed. It's
good.
It's a weird time for me, because I'm grieving, and there's some grieving in the world, and it's sort of like macro grieving and micro grieving. I know those sound very clinical, but it just, that's how I think of the world as that right now. But anyway, you're welcome to interview me at some point if you want to.
Okay, you have to teach me how.
asking questions I don't really know. I'm doing this because I feel like people's stories are important, and I feel like we might not remember how we felt during this time. I barely remember yesterday. So, we might not remember what we did and what we were. And so I feel like having this chronicled, archived, having something for our children, grandchildren, other towns, I just feel like this could be a really helpful tool. So that's why I'm doing it, without any experience whatsoever, just the desire to pull it together. And Levant's having a birthday in a couple of years, and I thought we could bring some of these stories together about how we are coming together. I'm curious what, if you had advice to give or words of wisdom, let's say it's people in another town or grandchildren who may have to deal with something different, but on a similar level, or what? I feel like you have a lot of wisdom to share. No pressure.
I don't know that I have any wisdom, except that you learn who, you know, the goodness of certain people and reach out to them and learn from them. You know, the other half of this is what's happening with our politics. Mm-hmm. How there's so much fury and disgust about the Trump administration.
Right.
So on the one hand, you have how are we going to deal with disease? How are we going to deal with our futures in the economy? How are we going to get rid of Trump?
The main objective at this point.
Yeah, and I think the feelings of isolation and fear and sadness, unfortunately, are tainted by our anger. You know, it would be nice if we could only focus on those first three.
Right. Right. Do you feel like that this has made you want to become more politically involved? I think you're pretty politically involved.
Well, you know, from isolation, what can I do?
Right. But
I'm doing some things. And I was thinking today, one term that hasn't been used in this crisis is collateral damage. Mm-hmm. I think that older people, sick people, and people of color are considered by this administration's collateral damage.
Right.
And so I only got onto Facebook less than a year ago. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, if I can't go out and work for one of these nonprofits politically, at least I can send out the articles that I think are really good and maybe convince some people of what the truth is.
Right.
I know that I've convinced one person, but I won't say who it is.
Well, if you've convinced one, that's great. Yeah. And I consider that a grand success. Oh, so what else do I have to ask you? I'm feeling a little like I feel like there's so much more and I'm not quite sure how to get to it, because this is so new and different for me. I guess the other thing, just speaking politically, and I think this is, you know, what you were referring to anyway, is just how this has magnified the class differences and racial inequality, and it just, and I've heard people say, oh, this is a great equalizer, this virus, but in fact, what we see is not that at all. We see greater and greater divisions. So I have hope that with our new administration that we'll be having, I'm an optimist, that we can address some of those issues. And the other thing that I'm thinking about is the effect that this pandemic has had on the planet and the health of our planet. And, you know, now we have some real hard data about how our behavior impacts the planet, or our lack of behaviors. And so I'm hoping that that's one of the silver linings of this, as well as, you know, people getting to know each other and realizing that there's really more goodness out in the world than not. So those are personally my silver linings. And I'm not sure, do you feel like you already talked about what those were for you, if there were any, I guess the question of the pleasant surprises or unpleasant surprises, that's maybe you answered that one.
Something went through my mind, but I've lost it.
You're in great company. Well, what do you think that there's something that maybe you've changed during this time because you were forced to, that you would like to hold on to even in better times? Is there anything of that nature?
Well, I'm enjoying this time, and I want to spend more time not being too busy.
Mm-hmm. Right. I have heard that a lot, and I think that is true. You realize when you can't do all the things that you have been doing, you realize just the peace of having more quietude, I think, and busyness. But we're still in the throes. You know, I can ask you what you think you as thus far might remember from this time. Yeah, let me ask you that. I'll ask you that as a closing question. What is there anything that you think just so far? Like I said, I feel like we're right in the middle. I don't feel like we're nearing the end. So far, is there anything that will be a standout memory that for you or anybody in your family?
Well, my mind is immediately drawn to the Jewish nursing home in Springfield, mm-hmm. where a friend of mine works as a chaplain. They've had, I don't know, 50, 70 deaths. And there was even one man who tried to set a bomb to blow them up. So, you know, there is this evil, this insanity, anti-Semitism, violence out there, but then the stories of, and also the crazy hours that the people there were working. The burden on healthcare staff that people just don't understand. And yet the wonderful stories that came out of how people are trying to help the healthcare workers and mm-hmm. and trying to help the families. That's going to stand out for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I so appreciate all your input, and I feel like you exude the kind of optimism and goodness. I'm getting all teary now. I appreciate you so much.
Well, I don't want to draw Kaya into the conversation inappropriately, but it's wonderful that you're reaching out in this way. And I wish you a beautiful memorial garden that you're planning.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, thank you again, Betsy. I really appreciate your thoughts always. And anytime you want to call and hang out, I'm not going anywhere. So I would love to talk. And thank you again.
Well, thank you.
And I will stop recording right now.
Okay.
But we
I'll have